We'll call the meeting to order. It is 4:02 on the 20th of November, and I guess we'll go around the room for roll call. This is Board Vice President Lauren Weiser.
Chris Moody, Board Member.
Tom Peet, Dean of STEM.
Alan Stafford, Chief Operating Officer.
Duncan Smith, Chief Operating Officer.
In training.
Lance Manlove, Board Member.
Darlene O'Neill, Board Member.
Andrea Rogers, Board Secretary.
Precious Benson, Board Member.
Chris Schell, Board Member.
Sarah Messina, Teacher Rep.
Heather Cram, Board Member.
Fude Jenny, Board Member.
Franny Silcott, Director of Human Resources.
Eric Anderson, Head of School.
Jen Scott, Board Member.
Kate Walker, Parent.
Brian Dayton, Parent.
Okay. We have some additional agenda item to add to new business below, so we need to have a motion to add the a USDA grant added to new business. Does anyone want to make that motion?
I'll make the motion that we add item B under new business to be titled USDA grant.
A second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye. Oh, Chris Moody, a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any discussion? The motion passes. We have the minutes from last month. Did anyone have any comments on the minutes? Okay, then I think we have a motion for accepting the minutes for last month's meeting, October 16th.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
She made a motion.
No way.
Oh.
Sorry.
Who made the motion?
Chris made the motion.
Okay.
Uday
second.
Okay, thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Any public comments? Yep, all right, moving right along. You're up.
All right, so happy November. First thing I wanted to do is I wanted to take the time to introduce Duncan Smith. Duncan Smith will be replacing Mr. Stafford when he retires December 31st. Duncan began on November 4th. And I thought Duncan could have, I know he didn't want to, but I thought he would have a few minutes just to give his resume.
Soon you'll learn, Duncan. That's how we roll here.
So everybody just knows a little bit about the great asset that Duncan's going to be to Sussex Academy.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm happy to be a part of the staff here at Sussex Academy. I'm in my 27th year of education. Most recently, I worked for 5 years in the Seaford School District as the Director of Human Resources and Public Information. Prior to that, I spent a few years at the Department of Education working in the Office of Assessment and the Office of Performance Management. Before that, I spent 18 years in Indian River School District as a teacher, assistant principal, and as a principal at an elementary school. So, again, I'm very excited to be a part of Sussex Academy. My three oldest children have attended the school, and my wife is currently a teacher in the middle school.
He's modest. When he was the principal at Frankfort Elementary, he brought it up to a Blue Ribbon school and had got to go to Washington to meet the president. So. Mm-hmm. He's a local hero in Indian River.
And a pretty successful soccer coach as well. And you started the women's program at IR, right?
At IR, yes.
So, yeah, there you go. Well, welcome, Duncan.
Thank you.
We're happy to have you on board. Duncan will be spending his time between now and the end of the calendar year doing the lead writing on the charter modification application.
Hopefully you won't quit after that.
All right, so give you a few updates on what's happened between now and the last board meeting. We held our first school-wide assembly for the Rehoboth Jazz festival performance. So it was wildly successful. We had all students from the high school and the middle school in the cafeterium together. We had never done that before, and I was very pleased with how it all turned out. It's definitely something that we will do again in the future, and we're hoping to continue to partner with the Rehoboth Jazz Festival to offer this opportunity for students every year, and hopefully, you know, they're going to follow up with a couple of $1,000 scholarships for our students for the arts, and hopefully be able to fund some instruments for our band program this year as well. So it was a success all around. We held our Choice Open House on Saturday, October 19th. It was on a Saturday for the first time. It was held 9 to 12. We had a pretty good showing of families. I don't remember the exact number, and Gina's actually not here, but it was over 100.
Yeah, it was like 170.
Yeah, so which is good for our numbers in the past, and it went well. And the school year 2020 choice application period opened on November 4th. So Andrea is busy now with phone calls as we start the application process, which will go through, I want to say January 9th?
Eighth
this year, January 8th. Our middle school parent social was held on the 22nd of October, and that was held at Bethany Blues in Lewis. We had a great showing of middle school families there. And again, I just want to say thank you to the Brockstead, Montgomery, and Danahay family for being a gracious host. October 21st was our homecoming week, which was another huge success. We had great attendance at the soccer game. The boys won. We beat Seaford. It was 4-0. Something new this year, each grade level decorated a section of the hallway in the high school. So that was exciting, and they had a lot of fun with that. I think the seniors won with their jungle theme this year, but I can just see that getting more and more competitive and involved as the years go on, and we had a really great showing for the first year. Students had a great time at the pep rally. They're getting better at it every year. We had a lot of fun with the Spirit Week themes. High school had their own themes, and middle school also were able to do some themes for to make them feel involved, which was nice. And then the middle school had their Halloween dance on Friday night concurrently with the soccer game, and we had our homecoming dance on Saturday. So it was a successful week, and the kids had a lot of fun. On October 30th, our middle school students, along with Miss Willie, who took the lead, hosted Ghost Tours in Georgetown. So if anybody who was able to make it to that, it started at the Counting House, and then they took you around for an hour ghost tour in Georgetown. And Mayor West told the stories, and our students were at the different sites jumping out, scaring people. So they did a really nice job, and overall they were able to raise over $900 for the Brandywine Valley SPCA, and we presented them with the check last Thursday. So the kids were very proud and already talking about how to make additions next year. The first market period ended on October 31st. Report cards went out on the 7th of November. We had two in-service days, one in October, I believe it was the 21st, and November 8th. We wrapped up training our all staff members on restorative practices, which will all tie in with our theme of nurturing the whole student in our strategic plan. I'll talk to you more in future months on what the next steps are in that.
Restorative
practices.
What's that?
So you know, there's a lot, but one of it is alternate ways to reach students other than your traditional discipline. So ways that are more effective to reach students, and it's more of like, I want to say, restorative justice type thing, but less punishment and consequences, and more meaningful ways to discipline kids who are learning from it. So more information to come with that. I will be having teachers come to present in February on our board meeting during a part of my report, just to kind of talk about some of the professional development things that we've done this year already, in line with our commitment to professional excellence from our strategic plan. We had Makeup Picture Day on November 15th. Students and staff all had their pictures taken, hopefully. Last weekend, we had our first musical of the school year, Little Shop of Horrors. This was unique for a first in school history where we had two different casts. So we had one cast for the entire show, was a different cast for Friday night's show and Saturday's matinee, and then a whole new second cast for Saturday evening's performance and Sunday's matinee. And all four shows were very well done. Aaron, Bobby, and Jerry Burrell always do a nice job. And our next performances will be our middle school doing Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory in February, and then our high schoolers doing Chicago in April. The high schoolers. And then that was...
clean version?
And that is the one that we won the rights to. So we didn't have to pay for the rights, we won the rights for that. So hopefully it'll make some make a lot of money for the program with that, not having to pay for the rights. On the sports front, I know you guys got your sports report, but our middle school soccer and middle school field hockey teams both completed their seasons undefeated, which is a first in school history. So that's something that we're very proud of. In our high school sports, our high school boys made it to the quarterfinals, which is another first in school history. They beat Newark Charter in the first round, but ultimately fell to Wilmington Friends in the quarterfinals. Jake Munduck for boys cross country, he was our first medalist in a state championship in school history. He placed 10th overall in the state in Division II. So we're very proud of this year's athletic accomplishments. Our Italian students and teachers arrived on Thursday last week. So we are right in the middle of hosting 12 Italian exchange students and two teachers from Francavilla Fontana, Italy. And they're here through November 30th. And then our students will go in April to Italy to reciprocate the exchange, and then we will have students come in either the April or May board meeting to report on the experience. So you guys will get a report from the students about the whole program.
What students get to go?
The ones who host it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
If you all did not know, it's important for you to know that Ann Rando is retiring. So her last day will also be December 31st. And I believe she will be moving as well. So Ann's last day will be on December 20th, and she will be replaced by Terry Allen. And Terry Allen has worked on our custodial staff, and last year she's taken a role on doing the secretarial or administrative side for the custodial department. So she has years of experience as a secretary and is really excited about this opportunity. Tomorrow we have our Desserts at Dusk bonfire, which is benefiting the class of 2021, and that will take place from 5:30 to 7 if anybody's interested in coming. And then, as we know, Friday will be our last day of school, and then we will have 9 days off for fall break. So I think everybody's ready for a break. And then some things that we have on the horizon. We have our junior ring ceremony on December 4th. We're doing a staff holiday party on December 20th. That is an early dismissal for students, and then staff will go to Striper Bites for the holiday party.
What day is that?
That is Friday the 20th. So we'll send something out to board members. So if you are going to attend, you just need a RSVP. And that's in Lewis. We have our senior trip coming up on January 15th to the 21st. The Delaware Charter School Network IDEA Awards are on January 31st. I will send out a link once Kendall does, if there's anybody in the charter community that you want to nominate, any fellow board members that you want to nominate, there's a nomination deadline, but I'll send that information out if anybody has anybody for the IDA awards. Our annual campaign is still going on. Gina's not here to give us an update, but we've had so many things already purchased off of the list that we've already gone to and updated it, which is great. So teachers are getting things in their classrooms and they're really excited about it. And then our 20th anniversary Bunker Bash Gala is on May 2nd, being held at Fort Miles, and more information will be forthcoming as it's available. And at our January meeting, I will be giving a presentation, just a mid-year checkpoint review of where we are with our strategic plan initiatives. And that is all I have.
Okay. All right, so for the monthly board financial reports.
All right, I sent out by email the full report, so I only copied some pages that I'm going to highlight some stuff. Overall, for the month of October, our spending was up about $104,000, and most of that were sort of one-time expenses. In contracted services, we paid for the construction, our portion of the construction for the offices and the student center. We had increased energy costs to get ready for the winter heating season. We had a first insurance payment we had to make. We had an increase in supplies and materials because of instructional materials that were purchased. And we had an increase in capital outlay because of the furniture expenses for the student center. We're about 1% above our spending where we expect to be at this time, which translates into about $90,000.
You mean over?
Yes. But last year at this time, we were 36%. We should have been at 33. So we were quite a bit higher than we should have been at this point last year. You'll see as you're looking at the pages, there's a lot of categories where maybe zero, or a lot of categories where a lot amount because of this new coding system, and we're still dealing with the new codes that we're required to use. They did not release the codes until after the fiscal year began. So actually I took the time for this report and went back and recoded some things so they fall into the right buckets. And moving forward, I met with Duncan quite a long time today and told him he's going to need to get rid of some of the categories that are no longer coding and move that money to some other word, one that we didn't include. So for example, we're not really using medical services because now we've broken that down to related services. So we were using a code for medical services, but now we need to use related services. So we've got 35 or 53,000 currently in our budget for medical, but it really needs to be moved down to related services.
What about substitutes, Alan?
Substitutes is because of the summer school driver's ed program.
I thought that was going to come out though.
No. We got the money, a lot of the money, but we still have to keep it coded there. Am I correct, Fran? We can't change those codes at this
not
point.
Not really, yeah.
So that's another area he'll move money into from an area that we're not coding things to anymore. But personnel will have to go up to accommodate for that. On one of them you'll see I've highlighted, put a box around construction services. Mm-hmm. That typically would have been 55500, which is buildings and grounds, but now this code is required to be used. So there's nothing budgeted there, but we have we've only spent 9% or 10% of what we had coded for 55500. We have a negative amount of money in expenditures for telecom because we got a big E-rate rebate. And so we coded it to that category because that's what we use the money for. And so it put us into a more money than we budgeted for. Water and sewer is a little bit high, but we only pay four times a year. We've paid two so far, so really you would expect it to be about 50%, and it's at 40. Equipment repair is high. We've had pool repairs and HVAC repairs that were not expected that totaled almost $12,000 so far. And we've got a contract out for an HVAC repair of the music unit for $7,500 that's going to take place on December 12th or December 6th. Building materials, furniture, the new coating system requires a lot more stuff coded to that category than we used in the past. And today I approved another $8,780, so that'll be another category that Duncan will need to move money into. And I've offered if he wants, when he's doing that, I can come back and kind of help him out if he needs it. Just wanted to update you that we've received all of the preliminary amounts from the local districts. The last one to pay was Capital, and that came in the month of October. So during the month of December, we should start seeing their final payments because there were no disputes. No school district disputed that one of the students we said was theirs, and that's unusual. Usually in the past, they have. On the web report, I still have the boxes around the three that were not in the budget because they were not. There was no indication that they were going to be approved. They were in the governor's recommended budget, but they had not been approved at the time that we made the preliminary budget. So that'll be adjusted for the next budget that you see. And then the board report, I've left it green because we're close and we had those big expenses in October that we're not going to have. We're not going to have another construction expense. We're not going to have another expense for furniture. So it should level out, I hope. Pool at this point is running a loss of about $27,000. But they had a big day yesterday. They had open house yesterday and brought in like over $7,000 worth of new revenue.
Oh, great. Memberships?
Memberships, people signing up for classes.
Is that something maybe we should do on like
Yeah.
They do annually.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's more than they brought last year. They may even do it semi-annually.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include the 27 that were in the rental on?
No, the 27 that they're in the hole right now, not in the hole, but they're
I know what you mean.
Is as of October 31st. And they would have collected that money. So it won't be reflected until the December.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. Any questions? All right.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Do we have a foundation update? Joe's not here, so.
Mm-mm.
All right. Committee reports. I guess we'll just go down the list. Executive committee, is there anything?
We had one. Yes, we had one call in relation to stuff with the Jefferson, you know, situation. Just working through some conversations around terms and getting us to where we have a draft of an agreement between the two parties to go over. But obviously, that will be presented to you as, you know, when we get further along, because we're not quite there yet. So that was, we had one, just one meeting about that.
Mm-hmm. Anything from Finance Committee?
Yes, I just have, I don't know if everyone has seen the financial framework or not, but we did have one meets or approaching standard for Measure 2A, which is the net income divided by total revenue. So I reached out to our auditor to find out, because when he presented to both the Finance Committee and the board, he indicated that we met that.
Yeah.
He wrote me back, and he redid the calculations and saw that he had made an error. However, he sent me some backup documentation, and this says net income, and for the income, he used the budgeted revenue, and we brought in about $260,000 more than was budgeted. So I'm still waiting for a response for him. I emailed him back again this morning, and waiting for a response to him is, why is he using budgeted number and not actual revenue numbers? Mm-hmm. So that's not resolved yet, but I'm working on it.
Okay. I know the outreach report was submitted in writing to the board. Building and grounds also submitted. Is there anything you want to tell us, Lance, from that report?
I mean, just a couple of highlights from there is the solar project is underway. They started delivering materials this week. The surveyors came out and surveyed everything. The plan is before Thanksgiving, they'll get the main line run from the school out to the inverters, and then after Thanksgiving, put the array up, and it should be done by the end of the year. And I also did a walkthrough with the Jefferson School, and it was in, I'd never been to the Jefferson School before, and it was impressive, I thought. I mean, the new building was great. The old building was in what I thought was good shape. I mean, there's definitely some maintenance things to take care of there, but it had a total of 16 rooms, classrooms, including 6 in the new building, 10 in the old building. Some of those are like labs and things as well, but I don't think there would be too much of a problem getting the maximum number of kids that we wanted to get in there, which was like 240 or something around that number. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to be an issue. There's some security stuff that probably needs to be upgraded or updated on that. I don't know what our deal is with, you know, rules regarding the gate and stuff we have out here. Do we need to have one of those there as well? Is that something that we decided to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, they have a gate there, but it's like sort of a manual gate. Mm-hmm. So we can decide to, I guess, keep that. other than that, I think we still should move forward with like a reserve study. Mm-hmm. So I need to get some sort of authorization to go do that. I think we're going to need that sooner than later.
How much?
It's probably going to be similar to what the last one was. It was like $12,000. They are septic and well there. Ooh. So it's different than what we have here. So, you know, the septic field was designed for an expanded campus. So the system that they have now accommodates the new building. No modifications had to be made to it. They are a well. They have two wells, but they have to test the water daily because it's, you know, it's potable water and it's a state facility, so you have to.
Who does that?
They do it.
They, but who?
I don't know. Probably the janitor or somebody. Maybe Connie does it.
She does everything else.
How far away is water, like Tidewater or Artesian, like how? Like, we should find that out.
What's Redwood? Septic and well?
That's well and septic.
Yeah, it's right around the corner from there.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, they have a solar field there, so that's good. They have their main school, the old school, is geothermal, and it's very, very energy efficient. The new school is using like mini splits, so they're very energy efficient as well. It looks like they have all the necessary, you know, accessories to have, they have desks and chairs, and I think there was some thought that maybe some of the rooms weren't done and whatnot, but they're all done and everything is viable. Everything works. I think there's a couple minor modifications that we need to do, but nothing crazy.
Okay. We are fully aware that we're going to have to buy some desks and chairs, I think, to outfit the new building.
They're all there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all the classrooms I went into, I took pictures of. They all have.
Mm-hmm. It's really a fully up and running entity.
Yeah, but they only have 80 some students, so I mean.
Yeah.
There were a lot of desks back in the.
Yeah, so most of the classrooms were set up to do like 16 around
yeah.
16
Okay.
People. So if we started out at around 16 per class, then we'd be okay. The auditorium slash gym multi-purpose room, they have chairs on rollaways for up to 200 people for assemblies and that kind of stuff as well.
Good.
So I mean, I think it'd be minor, some minor stuff, but not major.
Awesome.
Good. How about governance? Does that committee meet? Okay. Any of the ad hoc committees? I know. Any updates on any of these?
Just the student welfare, we are going to line up with nurturing the kid in the strategic plan that we had written and kind of work that overlapping each other. And once we have the midterm report from Eric in January, then we are going to work on what is left.
Okay. So moving on to old business. Again,
so just some updates on where we're at with the K-12 charter modification. So I know board members had wanted to get over and see the space that we did reserve, I believe it was Saturday, November 8th, a day for some board members to come. Marty and Lauren came over to meet with Connie and she gave them the tour. And I know a number of board members weren't able to make it and have gone on their own and met with Connie and toured the facility.
Who's gone over so far?
This past Monday, we met, we had a meeting with Leroy Travers, who is head of the Charter School Office of the DOE. Had attendance in that meeting was Nick Benz, from board member from the Jefferson School, Connie, Duncan, Jen, and myself. And we used that session just to ask all questions that we had that were outstanding as far as the process of applying, things to expect, but we also thought it was important to have some members of the Jefferson School to understand, especially Connie, as she's going to be helping put together the materials we need for our appendices for the application. Duncan has already begun answering the items on the application that need to be answered. I don't know if you want to provide any information. I know we're still...
Yeah, there are four or five questions that are related to our specific modification requests dealing with the change in grade configuration. We will be requesting an adjustment to our preference, which is one of those questions as well.
So what that means is that we are desiring to stop utilizing the special preference. So that was added into our modification when we added the high school in 2011. And it was this past year, so I've been on that committee now every year that we've utilized it. So for 6 years I've been on that committee. And every year it became more and more, the process sort of cumbersome, it's the best word I can use. This past year, we had quite a few parents who came back to us after the process was over and were unhappy and didn't understand why their children weren't admitted. And, you know, it's just a very subjective evaluation, and we feel that it is extremely, just opens us up to a lot of, I don't know what the word is, controversy, unnecessarily. So, and I also believe that it will please the Charter School Accountability Committee if we proffer to remove that special preference from our charter. And Leroy agreed that he thought that was a good idea. So, that's the only preference that goes away. So we still have the staff preference, sibling preference, founding preference, but there's no more founding children of founding board members.
Effective when?
Yeah, it wasn't.
Because it's
well, it wouldn't be this year. Okay, it would have to be effective.
Okay. Yeah, no.
2021.
Yeah. Not 2021. '21, '22.
Okay.
We will conduct the process this year.
This year.
But this will be the last year.
Okay.
But we're not, I mean, we have to, we have to discuss it as a board. So, and I'm asking you guys, so this brings up another point, which is that back to our agreement with the Jefferson School is we, Joe and myself and also Eric and Connie, we've all, well, not really, but Joe and myself have been meeting with Nick Benz and Krista Griffin. That's, those are the two sort of representatives from Jefferson School. We have been meeting about the legal document, the agreement, which will, you know, represent all of the different pieces of our relationship. If we decide to approve it, our relationship moving forward. So,
yeah, that's the agreement for the assets, because
yeah.
It's between, the school doesn't own anything, we lease it, so it's the foundation owns everything, so they have to come to terms if they're going to seize or take ownership of the assets. It's the foundation, so that's why it's not this board, it's the foundation board, because we're just, once they figure that out, then we would just lease the property as a school from the foundation.
So right now we're sort of in review with attorneys from both sides. The bottom line is that we need to have that agreement signed off on before we submit the application to the state. But you guys have to vote on it. So we are gonna, I am suggesting and requesting that we call a special board meeting in December to discuss and vote on just that issue. We don't normally have a board meeting in December, so that's why it would be a special meeting. So I would really like to just kind of propose a date right now and get you guys to agree to it.
Well, when's the proposal going to be put together?
Well, we're going to have it, hopefully, Joe's goal is to have it finalized before Thanksgiving, right? So I think if we suggest a date, like, in the second week of December, we'll be safe. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't we just...
Can we just do 18th, which is what normally
yeah.
this falls?
I was going to say, why wouldn't we just do it, well, yeah. The third Wednesday, that's
yeah.
a normal board meeting
18th.
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so the 18th of December, is anyone opposed to that date?
I won't be able to make it.
Okay.
I'll be here. Anytime before the 14th or earlier, I can make it.
You could call in too if you needed to.
Yeah, I could call in. I'd be available to call in on that date.
Is your dad going to be with you?
Just can't
go. No.
Okay. Okay.
Can't
so
go
then.
Call in.
Sorry, Chris. Sorry to ask that question. I should have said, is Joe going to be with you?
No, it's all good.
I was like, Chris, no, really?
He doesn't like me, Paul.
So if everyone else is okay with the 18th, then I think let's... Okay, so do I need to make a vote? Take a
yeah,
vote for that?
So.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to make a motion that we call a special meeting of the Sussex Academy Executive Board on December 18th at 4 p.m. to discuss and to vote on the proposed agreement of sale between the Jefferson School Foundation and the Sussex Academy Foundation, which the Sussex Academy Board will be a party to in some way.
Jen, if we vote yes, then would this next school year, starting in September, be the first school year that the Jefferson School would fall underneath our charter?
If we get approved by the state, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, hold on, can I have a second to my motion?
Second.
Okay, Chris Moody seconds. Okay, so Chris, so here's what happens though, is that once we submit to the state, they could come back and approve us, which would be great. They could approve us and say, hey, wait a minute, you guys, we approve you, but you can't open in 2020, you can open in 2021, which would essentially make the agreement null and void. So the way the agreement is written, it is for closing, approval from the state, submitting application by 12/31, approval and closing by April 30. If that doesn't happen, then the agreement is null. So,
and just, sorry to ask one more question.
It's okay.
Would we, I'm assuming the main reason that the state would potentially oppose us is due to political pressure from the teachers' unions? Is that accurate?
No. I mean, who knows what would happen behind the scenes? Basically, I think two things. Number one, this has never, ever happened before that a school has requested a major modification such as ours and has implemented that in 7 months. It's kind of crazy, but trailblazing, because we're trailblazers. So that scares them, mostly because they are not in the business of approving modifications or charters that are doomed to failure. The number one reason for failure is financial. Mm-hmm. We have a very strong financial story to tell, so I really don't think that will play well. The other issue is that, and we have to get some clarification around it, and I have reached out to our attorney, Jim Taylor, for this, is that because our approval will not come until after the official school choice enrollment period has already ended, there is very little direction on how we are bound to conduct our admissions process.